Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
What's up? This is another feather-strewn, flash-tatted, glitter-dusted, flower-crowned episode of Fat Mascara. This is Jessica Matlin.
Hi, I'm Jen, and if you couldn't tell, we're talking about Coachella this episode, and then we're going to get into the hair down there and what to do with it, and talk about the Oscars of fragrance, which should be interesting.
We also have a very special guest, the Don of Beauty, Chris Salgado. He is the president of Kiehl's USA, and maybe you've seen him riding around his motorbike or...
Vroom!
All right, Jen, got your jumpsuit, I've got my kimono.
I got my feathers, let's do this.
You ready to rock?
Welcome to the jungle.
Coachella, Jen, what is going on?
Is that your Coachella voice?
I guess so.
It's mad groovy. I love this time of year because I feel like it's the new clubs. Like in the 90s, everybody got their beauty trends from the clubs. And before that, it was like the discos in the 70s. And all of the cool trends come out of the music festivals now, Coachella being the kickoff for the whole summer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's...
I'm just giving a peace sign right now.
Okay, well, it's not 1969, but all of these trends we've been seeing over the last couple of years, the pastel hair, the flower crowns, the tattoos, the henna, glitter, all of that stuff, I feel like it got its start, like, not on the streets, but in the tents of the music festivals.
Completely. There's also been some pretty dubious trends, though.
There have been. Well, what are you looking forward to before we worry about you-know-who?
Well, you know.
It's that girl,
sounds
everybody.
Sounds like it's one person.
It's that drunk friend, the one that you have to take to the first aid tent.
Well, you know, I like the colors. I always love to see, like, what's happening with liner. I feel like people who are really boring, like, end up doing some really, like, whack stuff. And
yeah.
There's always a trickle down. I love, like, how much color there is. I think, you know, 11 months out of the year, people are pretty boring, generally speaking. But people are really fearless when it comes to color. Like, the most boring person in the world will suddenly, like, break out some green lipstick or,
yeah,
like, you know, aquamarine mermaid liner. You know, like, people just go to town, and there's always a trickle-down effect for that for, like, the rest of the summer.
And with hair, too, I never know what to do with hair. Like, hairstyles, I feel like I'm in fifth grade saying that. But, like, all these cool braids that you wouldn't think to do, like Heidi braids, mm-hmm, and cornrows and inside out and four-tail braids. I love checking the pictures at the end of the weekend to see what happens. But what I don't love, at least last year, I noticed, you look at the pictures from these shows, and I feel like it's the elephant in the room of music festivals, is this cultural appropriation or misappropriation, I should say. Like girls that are just copying looks that obviously might not be their own culture, and they're not doing it in a super respectful way. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I mean, you see a big wild headdress, like look like it was like Nab from Party City. Like a Native American headdress.
Yes, on a girl with like her pockets sticking out of her jean shorts and like half a boob hanging out.
A solo cup.
Dropping Molly and like, yeah, people. No. Like, when did it become? It's not a costume party. And if it were, be a little bit respectful.
Yeah, I think there's like absolutely just no thought. It's almost like, how crazy can we go? Like, how sexed up can we make like an exotic quote unquote culture look? It's not okay, and it's all for like an Instagram, a photo. It's a bad scene.
Yeah, I can't remember what celebrity it is, but she got called out for having cornrows and being like, I invented this look or something. And it wasn't an African American celebrity, it was a white girl. And I just feel like if you're gonna do a braid style, you're gonna wear a bindi or put henna on your hands, like do a little research and know where the look came from, so that honestly, if you feel uncomfortable, it gives you like that weird feeling. Mm-hmm. Maybe don't do it.
Yeah, I think like people think like, okay, it's in the desert or it's a festival, and they feel like it's carte blanche to like, let me pick out as many tribal, you know, motifs as I can.
Yeah.
And they hit all the shops and they smack it all together. And like, again, like you said, you know, throw a boobie out.
It's the sexy nurse of Coachella.
Yeah, exactly.
Just as Halloween got like sexified, and I think a lot of women are doing it. That's not to say all, and if that's your culture and you got to represent, go enjoy the music, mm-hmm. have fun. It's an artistic place. Definitely do it up. But, you know, don't do it after dropping the Molly and going to the tent and getting all sweaty, and then we're going to see your picture on like mm-mm. Getty Image Search next month.
Hell no. So something kind of like weird happened the other day.
You look so uncomfortable.
I'm very uncomfortable. I'm not like prudish, but this is not a great, like a comfortable topic for me. So I have a friend. She is French, and she had texted me saying, Jess, I need a place to get a bikini wax. And I know just from being friends for many years that she's never had a bikini wax. It's just not a part of her culture. Uh-huh. She just moved here a little while ago. And this was not something that I would thought that she would do. Long story short, she texted me like about a week later and she said, like, I did it. I just got back from like the place I had recommended. I said, like, first of all, like, I was like, are you okay? Like 4 question marks. And I was like, you know, do you still have your like vagina? Uh-huh. And she was like, I literally just spat at my wine. She said, I still have it, but like, holy crap, what a sensation.
Like a good sensation or
I
bad?
Couldn't tell by that. But then
wait, the actual waxing or the post-waxing feeling?
I couldn't tell. So I was like, are you okay? Like, good. So I saw her like the next like weekend, and she's literally like, we're walking down the street and she's got like this like new skip in her step. And she's like, it really feels really nice. She's like, it feels so different. Now I've been...
How much hair did she have down there?
Well, I mean, I've never seen it, but like we're close, but we're not that close.
Yeah.
But she looked so proud. Okay. Like she was literally like smiling from ear to ear. I don't think she can go back. But she,
to France?
It is probably that too. But she seemed like slightly traumatized, slightly proud. She didn't get it all off. And the woman who waxed her was kind of surprised by that. Because most women in New York, at least who go to this place, get it all off. And she kind of was like befuddled by the whole thing. And I felt sad as she was talking to me about it, because it's like, this is what at least, you know, New York women have been doing since like Sex and the City, whenever that started airing, you know, however many years
but
ago.
But you don't, I feel like it might be changing a little bit. Like, for example, there was that girls episode, I don't remember, 2 weeks ago, and Lena Dunham does like a Basic Instinct, and there's a bush. And I remember seeing a quote from her afterwards. She was like, I just wish my bush was even hairier so I could have had like a full-on bush moment. Like,
lovely.
embrace it. And on vinyl recently, Olivia mm-hmm. Wilde's like in a nude scene,
right.
And she's got like a full-on merkin. Do you know what a merkin is?
Yeah, I do.
That's like
for our listeners, a bush wig for actresses.
Yeah, but it was a nice full one. True, she's representing the 70s, and obviously, just for my vintage porn watching, stop listening, mom. They had full bushes like back then, and I feel like just like a, feminism has had this resurgence, and I feel like women want to have the diversity of the ability to have like whatever they want down there and not feel like they have to do either what men are telling them or other women or the lady at the wax place.
Yeah, but I think that pressure is still there though.
Yeah.
You know, like she was so comfortable until she got here and until it I get what you're saying, and she said that she liked the way it felt, but at the same time we talked about it, she was like, I don't think it could be good for you. And we both were like, you know, the hair is there for a reason. I mean, don't you agree, right?
Obviously, like we didn't evolve to have hot wax porn on our genitals and ripped off like that. Of course, that's not ideal in the world, but I think it's a matter of how much you're taking off too. Because taking all of it off, that to me, I've heard horror stories of that. Like I have friends that have gotten laser hair removal and they decided, well, I always used to get all of it waxed off, so I'll get all of it lasered off. But laser hair removal is permanent. And these women, you know, they got it done at a certain age, and then they maybe had kids, and apparently things change down there as you get older and or have kids, and you might need the screen of the hair.
Right.
Not that the vagina is not a lovely thing, but like it looks different, and I think people have to keep that in mind when they're making these decisions about laser hair removal. Waxing is different because it's temporary, but
I remember interviewing. We did a story about this once, like a doctor, and they were saying, you know, when you pull off the hair, it's almost like little tiny, this sounds gross, but like little tiny cuts or little tiny openings. So like you're inviting bacteria in. So, I mean, if you're sexually active, like it was just pretty gnarly. So another thing, I think you're right about people maybe opening their eyes to like more hair is better.
Mm-hmm.
I just stumbled upon this Instagram account a little while ago. It's called @Ladyist, @LadyIst.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the photography was awesome. I have to say, like, even
wait, I was typing it. Am I about to get, like, a feed of bushes?
You know, tasteful bushes.
Because, really?
Yeah, tasteful. But it's just, like, a hint of hair. I thought the photography was awesome. But, like, the fact that I I'm pretty jaded, I think.
Oh, it's pits, too.
It's real. So it's like, yeah, underarm hair, but also, like, beautiful shots of women in underwear with like just
cool.
A little bit of hair coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like that's the kind of thing that you would see like in like a groovy like women's clothing ad, but at the same time there's a little bit of hair coming out. And this person, they had, I forgot the artist's name, but she was just had an exhibit at South by Southwest. Like you're starting to see more of this stuff in the mainstream,
and I think that is only a good thing because all of porn and the way we look at women for so long has been this like clean and weird and doll-like way. And I think the more visions of what a woman should look like, shape of her, size of her bush, all that stuff, the better it is for women in general.
And didn't we both got that amazing like new line that just came in today, like Fur?
Oh, Fur, yeah. Even the name of that line, so that's for like ingrown hairs and bikini line health and, you know, to prevent pigmentation after you pull out the hair. Just the name of it's cool because they're saying, yeah, you're going to have hair there, but like you want to take a little of it off. You don't want it hanging out at like the beach this summer.
I love it. We're sexing up a bikini line hair.
Gimme head with hair, long beautiful hair, shining, gleaming, steaming, flaxen white.
Jess, I am so excited. There is all this fabulousness in front of me. You brought me like a perfumery worth of perfume. What's going on? Oh, you're spritzing too.
Oh, I love this one. I really do. I'm not just saying that for a
give fact. It here.
YSL Black Opium.
So what are all these fragrances here for?
It is the Oscar season of the fragrance
ooh,
world.
It's good.
Isn't that delicious? Mm-hmm. It's it has coffee bean in it. Anyway, long story short, it is the Oscar season of the fragrance world.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that the Fragrance Foundation Awards are in full swing. I just went to the breakfast for all the nominees the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It was super she. They announced all the nominees and the editorial awards. I didn't win. Neither
aww
did you. Sorry.
But are these are all the nominees?
Yeah. We're surrounded right now, for those of you who can't see, which is all of you. I have all of the fabulous women's nominees for Best Scent of the Year. And all of the men's nominees.
Do you know what I never know about the Fragrance Foundation Awards, though? Is it, like, an academy that votes? Like, what's the deal? Who decides?
So there are the awards that the, like, judging panel, who are industry experts, they judge on. They judge
them. Have you ever been on the panel?
No, I'm waiting for that day. Guys, call me, please. But here's the coolest thing. There is also a Consumer Choice Award. Mm-hmm. Now, you Fat Mascara listeners, listen up. You guys can vote on these. You go to, and I will rattle off the nominees in a moment, but you can go to fragrance.org/vote, and you can vote on these nominees. And at the when they prompt you at the end to share, all you need to do is at Fat Mascara, and you will be entered to win a gift of many of these fragrances.
Wait, we're doing a giveaway?
Oh, yeah, this is our first giveaway. It's going to be awesome.
I did not know we had a contest.
Oh, yeah, we have a contest. Don't worry. I organized it. It's totally cool. So,
I didn't know that.
So we'll be giving away a selection of these scents, like both men's and women's.
So you go to that website, you vote, and then when you tweet to share your vote, just tag us?
Yes, tag us with @FatMascara.
And we'll know who you voted for, but you'll also be entered to win. How many fragrances is this?
You're going to be getting at least 5 fragrances.
It's a perfumery's worth.
It's awesome. So, like, you'll have gifts for, like, your boyfriends, girlfriends,
including
mom,
this
dad.
One with the little bunny tail?
I'm not calling it which scents you'll get. It's okay. Like,
we'll see. We'll
what's
see.
What's that, like, disclaimer on. That they put, like, you know,
prize like may vary.
Exactly. Like, the McDonald's prize may vary, like, in Happy Meal.
You get a lot of fragrance. Get excited.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So, here are the nominees. You ready? I feel like we're at the Oscars.
Oh, God. All right, let's hear okay, it. Okay, do it quick.
Men's Dior Sauvage.
Sauvage.
That's like the one with Johnny Depp in the commercial. He buries his jewels.
That's all we need to know.
Okay. That has my vote. Prada Luna Rosa Sport. Ralph Lauren Polo Red Intense.
Ooh, I have Polo Red Intense here. Let me smell. Smells like sexy stock trader.
Okay. Women's Popular. Ari by Ariana Grande.
That's the bunny tail one.
That's the bunny tail one. Victoria's Secret Forever Sexy. Very sexy. Now we're on to Women's Prestige.
Do I play the orchestra right now? Time to get off the stage.
Okay. Oh, my friend loves this one so much.
Okay, rattle it out.
Jimmy Choo Illicit.
Yes.
Marc Jacobs Decadence. That's the one that looks like a little purse with the little tassel. Mm-hmm. That has notes of plum in it. That's definitely like the sexiest Marc Jacobs one. Like all of his fragrances are very floral, very goody, two-shoes, girly girl, I think. Mm-hmm. That one is very, like, tat. Adriana Lima's in the end.
S&M, Marc Jacobs.
Versace Eros Parfum. Mm-hmm. And then this one's my personal favorite. I'm just going to be real. And this is the one I was, like, screaming over when we started. Mm-hmm. Yves Saint Laurent Black Opium.
Oh, that was creamy.
Creamy with notes of coffee bean. It is so delicious. Like, I just want to take, like, a nap in it.
They're all winners in my book.
Please vote fragrance.org/vote. It takes 3 seconds. There are literally 3 questions. And then just tag us at the end and you can win at least 5 of these all new brand new perfumes and we will send them to you to your door. If all that was too much for you to take in, don't worry, go to fatmascara.com and we will also have the
under episodes, we'll put the link for you.
Yeah, so like just go to our website and like all the deets are there.
I feel like you just sold me a car. I love it.
Good luck. Chris Salgado, thank you so much for popping by. You are the president of Kiehl's USA, correct?
This is true.
Tell me, you are a huge deal in the beauty industry, huge deal in philanthropy.
Okay.
And you have a book out new called Man Made.
I do.
How did you get involved in the beauty industry?
I fell into it. You know, it was many, many years ago. I was looking for just a little part-time job. And I thought I would just get something like in... like a clothing store. And
wait, where are you from?
From Southern California.
Okay.
So I had kind of stumbled in to this one specialty store that was where I lived, and the only opening they had was on Chanel. And I'm like, okay, my mom loves Chanel, but other than that, I know absolutely nothing about cosmetics. And sort of just jumped in and fell in love, and Chanel was an interesting place to start because it's such the epitome of luxury, and it's a great story when you look at it and how it was so influential over so many years and then sort of had a tough time, especially when Coco Chanel died, and then the resurgence that happened in the 80s. And I just love the attention to detail. I love the quality of the products.
Wait, you were like the counterman?
I was.
So Kiehl's is such a cult-like brand. Like, to your point, people really, you know, they fall in love with it. It's a very special brand. And thank people you. Are very,
you're welcome.
People are very, you know, protective you. Of it. And you've managed to, it is, you know, it's under this huge umbrella. It's bought, mm-hmm. you know, it's bought by L'Oreal. But you've managed to keep that cool factor. People still see it as this kind of a family brand.
Yeah.
How have you done that?
So this is where I have to give L'Oreal a lot of credit. Because I'm probably not your most conventional president. I mean, if you
yeah,
go
we'll
into
get to that.
If you go into my stores, if you go into my office, it's like skeletons everywhere and motorcycles.
Mr. Bones!
And you could say, what does this have to do with beauty? But I think this is where L'Oreal is very progressive. And I think like any smart company, when you have talent and you allow them the ability to have successes and you prove success over time, you are allowed to do more and more daring things and sort of create what you see for a brand, in my case, when you're actually, you know, running one. And so I really give L'Oreal a lot of credit because it's such a big company. And you could say, wow, how does Kiehl's even survive in this environment? But, I mean, there's such a commitment to health and wellness and safety, and our R&D is one of the best. And, you know, Kiehl's now has access to all of that. Mm-hmm. And so our formulas are really that good.
And what about all the, like, quirky Kiehl's stuff? Like, I don't know if people outside of New York know about the motorcycle and the skeletons and all of those. Like, how did that stay around? Like, yeah, we're going to spend money to put a motorcycle in a store.
So when we acquired the company, we just had the one flagship store. I'm from Southern California. I bought my Kiehl's at Umberto, this hair salon that I was telling you about, and then also Barney's. That was my Kiehl's experience.
Right.
I came here and was like, oh, there's a pharmacy. And so I discovered all of this.
The pharmacy in the East Village on 13th
Street.
Yep, we sell
since 1851. We've been around before Lincoln was president.
Whoa.
This is a deep perspective.
Yeah.
But so when we were looking at this, it was like, okay, how do you take this almost like this collection of, when you think of Kiehl's over time, you know, you've been around since 1851. People forget that. The store is like this great collection of memories. And so when we were thinking about, okay, how do we then take this and then transport it to other places around the country and then around the world, what are you going to use? What are the elements? And so we wanted to tell the story of the history because we were an original apothecary. That's what we did. We served all New Yorkers for their health care and their prescriptions and all of those things. And
hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, it's not often that we talk about supplements, but when we do, you know that we mean it, all right? Every day I do my skincare routine, and that is a cleanse. I moisturize. Of course, I pop a little antioxidant in there. I'll do a little serum underneath there. But what is non-negotiable for me lately is I take a supplement. That is my Ritual Hyacera. It's a wrinkle support skin supplement, which is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and improve skin smoothness. I'll take that.
I'll take it too. Ritual Hyacera is a once daily skin supplement. Jess said clinically proven. Let me give you the deets. In a clinical study, Hyacera led to a 3.6 time reduction in crow's feet wrinkles within 90 days as compared to placebo. Jess and I have been taking it more than 90 days. Let me tell you, it works. Plus, Ritual Hyacera has led to a 2.9 times increase in skin smoothness in the same amount of times. It's rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. You don't always know if a supplement does that. Ritual also has industry-leading sustainability standards. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, love that, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. Plus, female-founded, B Corp, meaning they're holding themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of the people and our planet. You gotta love that.
Yes, okay. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust.
Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/mascara. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/mascara for 25% off. Okay, everyone, guess what I did last night? I slept in my Honeylove bra. I don't think I've ever slept in a bra before. Usually, I am so excited to take off my bra at the end of the day, there would be no chance I would lay down in it. But Honeylove bras are that comfortable. And if you're someone who does like to sleep in a bra for a little extra support, I feel like the Honeylove crossover bra should be your sleeping bra. Did I just coin a thing, sleeping bra? I don't know if they'll approve of that, but I love the idea. Obviously, you're gonna wear it out all the time too, because Honeylove's bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for uncomfortable wires. Plus, they're made with a fabric that's so soft, it feels like a second skin. Is it spring cleaning time in your house? I know it is in mine. Clean out your bra drawer, get a few from Honeylove. They have the V-neck bra that's smooth and seamless and hardware free. And then my personal favorite is the crossover bra with adjustable straps and a hook back closure. And of course, again, no underwire in that one either. The Honeylove supportive bonding lifts and supports without those uncomfortable wires. And while you're at it, why not pair your Honeylove bra with their matching shapewear, or maybe a pair of their breathable, versatile leggings. Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. It's honeylove.com/mascara. And then after you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we here at Fat Mascara sent you. Honeys, you deserve this. Again, that website is honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off.
And all the other elements, like Mr. Bones was a teaching skeleton, and Mr. Morse, who was the second generation owner of Kiehl's, had it there with books, and it was really to entertain, like the kids who came in. That's why Mr. Bones existed. Oh. And what he talk about a visionary. When you looked at, there was also the motorcycle room, which I'm a huge motorcycle guy. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we're going to get to that. We had this motorcycle room, 44 motorcycles. He had his Lamborghini in there, and he had a big television that he played sports in the news. So what he was seeing was that men would come in with their wives, girlfriends, whatever, and they would just sort of be bored. And so he thought, okay, I'm going to bring this in and create this retail-tainment, if you will.
Is it like the 70s, the 80s, what era?
Yeah, 70s.
Okay.
Yeah. So very progressive when you think about it.
Stores should be doing that now. I mean, you don't see that in some of the big department stores now. They just have a couch and a plant. You know, it's true. I guess people look on their phones now.
It's true. Exactly. You're always looking down anyway.
Yeah.
But I think some are starting to get more progressive. We can talk about that. But basically it was like looking at all of these elements and saying, okay, what could make sense? So Mr. Bones made sense, like the graffiti and the neon and the brick, because there were a lot of elements of the East Village.
Oh, I was the one in Seoul, the Kiehl's in Seoul. I thought I was in New York. It just translated really well.
Yeah. And it's consistent. And what I love about it is that, you know, Kiehl's for me has always sort of walked its own path. You know, the motorcycles sort of were, you know, in every store. But in 2010, we actually decided, like, I looked at this, I thought, you know, if I could get this on the road, I could really make some noise for the charities that I'm supporting, or one in particular. And so that was a great example of taking this iconic element of Kiehl's and actually doing something else with it, which I'm quite proud of.
Which is what?
So in 2010, so we've always supported a lot of charitable causes, you know, and one that's been very near and dear to us is AIDS and HIV, and really specifically AMFAR. Mm-hmm. And for me, when I came back in as president in 2006, I loved everything we were doing, but it was small. Like, there was lots of little small initiatives, and I thought, wow. You know, and there's so many amazing charities, but you've got to choose at some point of, like, what you really want to get behind if you want to make a difference. And for me, when it came to AIDS and HIV, AMFAR was doing two things. They're looking to finance grants that will lead to a cure and a vaccine for HIV, and we need both to get out of this epidemic. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it made perfect sense to sort of put our efforts with them. And so I did my first motorcycle ride. It's Life Ride. Mm-hmm. It was a complete, like, everything, like, sort of fell apart at the end. And everybody who was going to ride with me wasn't going to ride anymore. And I was like, you know, if I'm the
Where
only
was
person.
This was in California?
San Diego to San Francisco.
No, is this the first one you were saying fell apart? Because, I mean, Life Ride, when I think of Kiehl's, I think of, well, I mean, creme de coeur, all your amazing products, but I also think of the Life Ride.
No,
this thing has gotten
Chris
huge
by himself riding down the highway.
Well,
the
you know
Lone
what?
Ranger.
I was ready to do it, you know?
So, okay, first of all, what is the Life Ride?
So the Life Ride is an annual event that we do, that we move across the country to raise not only funding for AMFAR, but also to create awareness. And we had all these tiny little towns who probably haven't heard about any updates on AIDS and HIV since like 1988 People magazine. And so going there with this message of Life Ride and what's happening was really important because, you know, we need two things with you. You need the financing for sure, but then you also need to raise awareness. And, you know, with 45 people living with this disease and many more than that who've died from this disease, it's an issue. And we've been able to have great medical breakthroughs here in this country, but we don't want people to be on medications long term. So Life Ride is my way with Kiehl's of raising money. I partner with friends, celebrities.
So you get sponsored to ride. Is that how it works?
Well, we pay the lion's share of it right now. But if you know any sponsors out there, see us, please. I mean, sponsors.
Like, I have to say, this is, I have such like Instagram envy every year when you're on the Life Ride. I ask your fabulous publicist, Lauren Bottle, every summer. Oh my, I would, Jen and I on the hog, okay, like a beautiful pink
and purple
one. I have
my motorcycle
one.
Pink and purple. License.
Do you?
Yes.
You,
Jen does. Wow. I'm like a big loser, and I'll just be like screaming on the back.
You can be
of
on
her,
the back.
On the back, screaming my head off. But like, I love this. It looks like you guys are having the most fun. Like, it's in the summer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just sitting on my couch sweating, so jealous.
What's the craziest thing that's ever happened? Like, have you ever gotten a bad reception or like a major like breakdown of the bike in the middle of
I flew off my bike
and
down a mountain and lucky to be alive.
Where?
In the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee.
Oh my God, they're beautiful,
well,
but geez.
Yeah.
It was
pretty scary.
You're okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, there's with motorcycle riders, there's those who have fallen and then there are those who will fall. So it happens to everybody, and I was very lucky.
Because you had your helmet on.
I had everything
padded
on.
Clothing.
As padded as
my
get them.
My instructor would not be happy about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
But and we'll it's the luck of the draw. I mean, it was definitely wasn't my time, because where I landed, it was like a thicket of trees, and I was rolling down this mountain like James Bond.
Wait, is everybody in the Kiehl's like apparatus like, oh my God, our president just went down? Like,
I
what
went
happened?
Through the trees, so they didn't even see me. So I went through, because I didn't want to lay my, you do two things. You can either lay your bike down and run the risk that everyone's not going to see you and might run over you. Or that I thought, and I was on a chopper, and choppers are a chopped up motorcycle, so it didn't have any instruments on it. And I decided to take it off the road, try to slow it down. I just couldn't slow it down fast enough, and I went into the trees. And it was like I was sort of going to take my chances.
So if I came by afterwards, the bike would be on the side of the road, and you would be nowhere to be seen.
Pretty much, yeah.
So
and
was this the last ride
out.
That you did?
No, this was in 2012. This was our third life
and
ride.
And you
got
still back on the bike.
Yeah.
So you are really, like, I'm all joking aside, like, you're really dedicated to this cause. Like, this is something you want to keep doing, this life ride.
You know, it's one of those things that's like a higher calling. Stuff that that you that you do.
Yeah. I mean, this is it's a mission for you, and this is something that's like a Kiehl's legacy. Like, you are very different. I'm jumping ahead to a different question, but like, you're very different from other presidents, very, very different from other like corporate characters in the business that I read about and I, you know, cross paths with. What do you feel sort of sets you apart? Is it just kind of this? Help me out, Jen. Sorry.
He's not wearing a suit right now.
Yeah,
the man is in a deep V. He's got a rockabilly thing going on with the hair, beads around the neck. I feel like you've managed to bring a brand forward but still stay true to yourself. Mm. Have you ever gotten pushback from like the big guys in France?
How have you? I find it very inspiring that you have been able to be yourself, see your vision through, as evidenced by you pushing the Life Ride through and you know, doing your thing, and work with this very corporate, from what I know, company, very establishment, but like super well-respected company, and do your thing. A lot of people can't do that.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I think, would try to do that and be like spat out like a pinball machine, you know?
Yeah.
So what has been sort of like your secret?
So, and I say this to a lot of people who start off at a junior level at L'Oreal specifically, you know, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. You, have to, you can't just go in and expect like you're going to get the keys to the kingdom. You have to show success, small, medium, large, over time, that you can actually make a difference, get things done, and then you, a company like L'Oreal allows you more room and more room and more room to do the things that you need to do depending on what your executive level is. In my case, honestly, when it comes to products, we never take our eye off the ball with Kiehl's with products. For all the things that we do, it's like, and we do a lot of interesting ways of bringing the brand to life, which I love and I think are very much part of the Kiehl's DNA, but the products are great. So I never believe my own press. It's always a focus on listen to your customer, make sure they're bringing the right stuff, and or you're listening to them, and you have the right products out there, and then they'll never leave you. You know, they're going to be happy with the brand. I mean, I'm a Kiehl's user because I love the products. You know, I genuinely do.
Other than like the Silkroom, what is doing really well for Kiehl's right now? Like, which products are the best sellers?
Well, it varies. So Midnight Recovery. So we came out with our first oil in 2010. And it was Midnight Recovery. And oil.
This is the one you talked about on our bonus episode.
This is magic.
This is what I would.
Please go to iTunes right now and don't download our bonus episode. Continue.
Okay, so at our bonus episode, we had a question, what products would you actually pay for? Because, like, everyone knows that beauty editors get sent things, like, to test and try for free. I would pay for real, the Midnight Recovery oil. Oh, I use it every night. It's by my bedside. It's not in the medicine cabinet. It's by the bedside. Uh-huh. It's the last thing I put on.
Okay. So that does well for the brand, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it's one of those things, too, and I sort of learned this the hard way with Shomura. Is that Americans really struggle with oils in general for a long time. They're better about it now. And you know this. I'm not telling you probably anything you don't know. But, you know, we're so used to, like, squeaky clean. And, like, if it doesn't feel like we've put rubbing alcohol on our face, then we're not happy. And putting an oil on is like, oh, my God, I'm going to break out. Like, those are the words that are associated with an oil. And we really got this formula right. You know, it's 99% botanical oil. It's really unique. I kind of use it for everything because on my little journey with it, I discover that after I do my motorcycle rides, my skin is really getting beaten up. I put that on, even though it's a nighttime product. Put it in my beard. I even put it in my bath. I mean, I have, like, used it. When I was in Alaska,
if you're the president, you can squirt some of that stuff
you
in
can.
Your bath. Yeah.
This is true. It's a perk. So, yeah, but, I mean, Midnight Recovery is great. Avocado Eye, which we came out in, like, 2001, is still our top-selling eye cream.
Huh.
Creme de Coeur, of course, everybody loves. We have great men's products in the Facial Fuel line. We have it in the White Eagle Shave. And there's a lot of favorites. Like, we really kind of organized it around this idea of healthy skin. Healthy skin for everybody. And so when you go to a Kiehl's store, we basically get you in our best formulas and find out, like, what are your healthy skin needs? And from there, we take you on a journey into the brand. But it's really to start right at that place and get you into healthy skin products.
And you sort of have a personal journey going on right now with men's grooming in particular.
Oh, yes.
Well, tell us about your book and how did that come about?
Well, you know, part of what I love about what I do is that you have the ability to improve people's lives. And, you know, skincare and makeup, they're transformative. You know, they can, if you're looking, first of all,
Preach, brother.
First,
thank
you. If you look in the mirror and what stares back at you, you're happy with, God bless. That's great. You don't need us, you know, because it's all about feeling good about yourself, ultimately.
Yeah.
And but if you don't, then there's things that we can do. Like, we can find a way to make you feel better about yourself. And that's what I love about good skincare, good grooming.
Did someone approach you to write the book? Was it your idea?
Well, so basically what I wanted to do was I wanted to write a book. And I wanted it to be in grooming, and I thought men's would be the first place to start because as I traveled everywhere, guys were asking me, even at the gym down here in Tribeca, someone would recognize me from some show or something that they'd ask me their questions and interrupt my workout. But I thought, okay, they love Kiehl's. Story of our lives. And so what I found was that there were so many questions, and when you think about how you can find information, it's a clickboard away. But yet, why were they still struggling with things like, how do I get the perfect shape?
TMI.
Right.
Well, too much information.
And not the believable resources.
Right.
You know, like, where's the credibility? And so, for me, this is man-made sort of designed itself. Because it was like, I wanted this to be very basic. Like, basic, basic, basic. And have it set up in a way that it would be more like a resource. So, you know, like you get a cookbook. you know, you're going to find, you know, eggs are in there and like, but it's going to be like in 1,000 recipes because you use eggs very different, you know, in different ways. So there's a lot of like, the same eye creams or whatever I recommend, but it's getting at guys in a different way.
Do you think we're finally over then that whole metrosexual where like a guy who cares about skincare and things like that is this certain type of guy? Mm. Personally, I feel like all guys care now.
Yeah.
But do you think that's finally passed and we're moving on to where like, let's not label people?
Yeah, I mean, I think to me it is the most exciting time for men ever. Mm-hmm. Because men finally have permission to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. Because again, it was always a woman's game. Like if you took care of your skin, you were vain. You were feminine. It was, I had all of these attachments about what that meant. Instead, you just want to take good, better care of your skin. I mean, people always ask me, how do I reverse time? I'm like, honey, if I could reverse time, you know, I'd be in my helicopter orbiting the Earth. But one of the most inexpensive ways to stave off aging is really sunscreen. Like, yeah. I use sunscreen all the time. You better too.
Oh,
and I burn. Like, so I mean, freckly. I burn.
Do you think there's people that still don't realize that?
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then it sits in their shelves, and they feel better, but you got to put it on your face. And guess what?
I bought it, though.
20 minutes before it even works.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
You mean 20 minutes before it works because it's if a chemical sunscreen.
It needs to settle in.
Yeah, it's got to, you know, the molecules have to bind to your skin.
Question for you. How many times are you applying sunscreen a day?
Depends on what you're doing. So I'm
If I'm just sitting in my office, I only apply it once.
You're good.
What?
I know, sorry, guys. Well, actually, no, I put on a powder that has sunscreen in it. You're making me very nervous. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next question because I'm like having agita. So where do you, okay, I know that like men are more comfortable now like putting like face cream on. I'm not sure about the sunscreen because no man that I know, like maybe my boyfriend, but no other man is like putting sunscreen on.
And we know why he does.
We know. but do you think that like other companies excluding Kiehl's, like I don't see a huge boom in men's grooming companies unless I'm not looking around. Like I don't think that the men's grooming space has gotten that men's grooming industry has gotten that huge.
Well, there's certainly a lot more brands out there and there's definitely a plethora of products for sure. But it's largely a mass game. You know, that's where men are really shopping for their products. Mm-hmm. I mean, for us, it's been really growing significantly.
A mass, meaning like the cheaper brand.
Less expensive.
Yes. More accessible.
Your drugstores, your Duane Reade, all that stuff. So I think that there's definitely been a rise in the marketplace. And what's been most interesting is that there's been this real interest on guys for like anti-aging products, which I thought was extremely progressive. Mm-hmm. We're coming out with our own first serum for men.
When's that coming?
In June.
That's so cool.
It's called Age Defender. Yeah,
you've
it's very cool.
I actually don't know about this.
It's pretty cool. The packaging alone is worth having in your medicine cabinet. It's black. It's pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah. And then the other thing I would say too is that I don't think people apply correctly, and especially men. Like I'm an eye cream fanatic. I mean, if you want to like...
Give us a lesson. What do we do?
Okay, so first of all, don't this dabbing bullshit stop. Like, get in there.
You need what do you mean, get in?
Okay, so first of all, if you're a woman and you're wearing concealer, so you want to pack... First of all, you want to make sure your eye cream doesn't travel into your eye. So make sure it's definitely one, you're good to go, it doesn't bother your eyes. Once you've established that, then you want to really, when you put it on...
He's scooping his ring finger, people.
I'm scooping that ring
finger. Remember, we're on a podcast. You have to be really
there
explicit.
So it's more like when people use like a pea size. It's more like a quarter size. And you want to sweep. You want to see the eye cream. Like you want to put it under your eye, on the top of the brow. And then if you wear a concealer, put that concealer on right afterwards because it's going to set in perfectly and it's not going to line.
I'm so fascinated by this. I want to go home and redo my skincare and my makeup.
I tap and dab. I don't do the little swipe you just did.
Get in there.
I'm going to start applying my makeup much more intensely.
Chris, thank you so
much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's time to raise a wand. And Jess is over here asking me, what are you raising a wand to? You got to wait till I open it up and start. So why don't you go first? What are you raising a wand to this week, Jess?
The Yes to Coconuts Overnight Hydrating Mask.
The coconut one is just like, not only the smell is absolutely insane. I put it on my face. I wake up. It's like butter. It costs like nothing compared to the other overnight hydrating masks that are out there.
Nice.
And I've recommended it to a bunch of different people. And it like suits all kinds of skin types. It's just incredible. And my pillow smells like coconuts.
Do you rinse it off or you sleep in it?
I sleep in it. I just put it on like a moisturizer. I wake up and my skin is like super dreamy soft.
Ooh, I'm going to try it.
It's okay. Fantastic.
I'm raising a wand to this in my back pocket. Have you seen this? This is Glossier's new stretch concealer. So when Glossier did their makeup line, I was like, they're not really into makeup. What are they going to make? So the concealer, I just thought it was going to be a pot concealer. I'm calling it solid tinted moisturizer.
Oh my God, I think you're just because it, the product.
I know, I should rename it that. It's very sheer, so it's good for like redness areas around your nose or your chin. It's not going to cover a pimple or like, and it doesn't look cakey under your eyes because you just sort of spread it on and it changes the discoloration but doesn't make you look like too done. And I feel like I'm finally on the Glossier train that everybody has been riding for the last year. So this is stretch concealer. My shade's medium 20, but there's 6 shades, I think. Not too expensive either, so that's good stuff. I raise a wand to it. We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode, so I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at fatmascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys. See you next week.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.